worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Verses 1 through 8, Revelation chapter 1. Father, we thank you once again for your word, and thank you for the privilege of being able to read and meditate on your word each and every day. Thank you for the wonderful blessing that is ours as we take time to open your word and spend time one-on-one with you in a daily appointment, sitting before you, listening to you speak words of wisdom, counsel, grace, power, and blessing into our minds, our hearts, and our lives. Father, more and more, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. And Lord, also, help us to become much more faithful in teaching and training our children to read your word aloud to us each and every day. And help us to grow in our understanding of what a great blessing that is to us, to our children, to our homes and our households, as we spend time in your word as families together each and every day. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer at this time.
Father, we're so excited to be able to come to you on this day, Father, and know that we can rest in you, that no matter what happens in this brand new year, no matter what the chaos or the unexpected, that you will be a faithful God to see us through. So we come to you today and say, we rest in you today, Father. We cast all our cares on you today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. And in the way of encouragement, I want to say again, we praise God for a blessed new year and what a privilege it is for us to begin the new year reading through, continuing to read through the Word of God. And a word of encouragement I'd like to share to each and every reader is that if you're not reading God's Word every day, today is a great day to start that very important habit. And, you know, I don't have the ability to emphasize how important it is that we understand, that we grow an understanding of how important it is for us to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ one-on-one as we read and meditate on His Word each and every day. You know, I pretty regularly challenge believers to set the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible each and every day. Well, for you, it might be the same chapter you read 3 times over, or it might be 3 different chapters. But 3 chapters is a good basic spiritual meal to feed your spirit. And the fact is, in spite of our busyness, anyone that tries to say that they're too busy to read their Bible, they're fooling themselves. We have time to do what we want to do, what we choose to do. And so I would encourage you to start that very important habit. And I want to continue to emphasize this very important truth as well. For every parent listening, I would encourage you to begin this habit today, if you haven't already, of having each of your children to read 3 chapters out loud to you each day as well. Now, reading three chapters will take on average around 15 minutes or so, but I want you to think about this. For people that think they're just too busy to do that, keep in mind there are 4 15-minute segments in every hour, and there are 24 hours in a day. So for a person to say they just don't have time to have their child read the Word of God for them, again, they're deceiving themselves. Again, we have time for what we choose to do, what we want to do. And parents, what more important activity can you engage yourself in than the wonderful activity of helping to invest the powerful, eternal Word of God into the hearts and minds of our children? It's important to understand you're doing a wonderfully important and fruitful thing to bless your children when you make time to have them to read the Word of God out loud to you. And again, remember, when they're reading, they have to engage in the Word. Now, remember, when families have devotions, that's a wonderful thing. And when dad or mom do the reading, that's a good thing too. But keep in mind, the reality is children are children. And sometimes a child can zone out just like sometimes grown folks do. And they daydream or they may fall asleep. But when the child is reading to you, dad or mom, they have to engage. And remember, it's so important to understand the Word of God works on the mind, heart, and spirit. It ministers to the mind, heart, and spirit of a child as well as an adult when they read it. So I would encourage your parents, start that habit this day, today, and allow the Word of God to begin to be invested, to be poured into the mind and the heart of your child. Remember, the Word of God ministers to our mind, body, and spirit in a way that no one else or nothing else can or does. Remember, God's Word is pure light. And one of the many reasons why it's so important, parents, for us to take this and make this a priority is because, sadly, we live in a world where many people, men and women, but sadly, many boys and girls, many children, are consuming toxic darkness and toxic poison from the internet and from media, from video games, and so many negative things. They're consuming it by the gallon. And yet many of those same children never open a Bible. But parents, if you begin to have them to read to you, remember, God's Word is pure light. And light ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. It comes directly from God, and it'll bless you in ways we don't fully comprehend. But it always, always, always blesses us. Light blesses every part of our lives. So parents, today is a great day to start that habit of having your children to begin to read the Word of God to you each and every day. And if three chapters seems like a lot, now again, it's really not. You can do that in about 15 minutes. But even parents, for children that may be very young, just select short chapters. For example, if you have a child that maybe doesn't even read yet, you can help them to repeat Psalm 100, a short psalm. Just repeat it after you, again, I would say 3 times. Well, it doesn't take but a few minutes to do that. But remember, when that child is speaking that word and repeating those words after you, the Word of God is going into his or her mind and heart and spirit. Again, nothing blesses our children more than the precious and powerful Word of God. Parents, I would encourage you to do just that. So, and keep in mind, again, we do have lots of resources for believers as well as resources for parents as well in the discipleship of your children. If you'd like some of those resources, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad and we're honored to be able to share them with you. And our encouragement to you is that you'll use them in your life, you'll use them in the discipleship of your family, but that you in turn will forward them and share them with others, family members, coworkers. Just email them to any and everyone the Lord puts on your heart to share them with. That's a part of what they're for. They're both evangelism and discipleship tools that you can use. So just, again, my email to receive them, jparker@afa.net. We pick up now in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And he began to build on the second day of the second month in the 4th year of his reign. This is the foundation which Solomon laid for building the house of God. The length was 60 cubits by cubits according to the former measure, and the width 20 cubits. And the vestibule that was in front of the sanctuary was 20 cubits long across the width of the house, and the height was 120. He overlaid the inside with pure gold. The larger room he paneled with cypress, which he overlaid with fine gold, and he carved palm trees and chainwork on it. And he decorated the house with precious stones for beauty, and the gold was gold from Parvaim. He also overlaid the house, the beams and doorposts, its walls and doors with gold, and he carved cherubim on the walls. And he made the most holy place. Its length was according to the width of the house, 20 cubits, and its width 20 cubits. He overlaid it with 600 talents of fine gold. The weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold, and he overlaid the upper area with gold. In the most holy place, he made two cherubim, fashioned by carving, and overlaid them with gold. The wings of the cherubim were 20 cubits in overall length. One wing of the cherub was 5 cubits, touching the wall of the room, and the other wing was 5 cubits, touching the wing of the other cherub. One wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits, touching the wall of the room, and the other wing also was 5 cubits, touching the wing of the other cherub. The wings of these cherubim spanned 20 cubits overall. They stood on their feet, and they faced inward. And he made the veil of blue, purple, crimson, and fine linen, and wove cherubim into it. Also he made in front of the temple 2 pillars 35 cubits high, and the capital that was on the top of each of them was 5 cubits. He made wreaths of chainwork, as in the inner sanctuary, and put them on the top of the pillars. And he made 100 pomegranates and put them on the wreaths of chainwork. Then he set up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left. He called the name of the one on the right hand Jachin, and the name of the one on the left Boaz. 2 Chronicles chapter 4. Moreover, he made a bronze altar. 20 cubits was its length, 20 cubits its width, and 10 cubits its height. Then he made the sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits. And a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. And under it was the likeness of oxen encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit, all the way around the sea. The oxen were cast in 2 rows when it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. It was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It contained 3,000 baths. Verses 1 through 5, 2 Chronicles chapter 4. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we continue reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
The living word, amen.
Bread of heaven,
on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Send down from golden.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you earn on earth are called.
Awesome ruler,
awesome ruler,
gentle redeemer,
gentle redeemer,
God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus.
That's what we call you.
That's what
yeah.
we call you.
You were born in a manger,
boy,
but on a tree
you died to save humanity.
Jesus,
you are the living
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus.
That's what we call.
You
were born in a manger,
born, but on a tree,
you died to save humanity.
Music of Fred Hammond. You are the living word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up now the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, he made a bronze altar. 20 cubits was its length, 20 cubits its width, and 10 cubits its height. Then he made the sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. And under it was the likeness of oxen encircling it all around. 10 to a cubit, all the way around the sea, the oxen were cast in 2 rows when it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. It was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It contained 3,000 baths. He also made 10 lavers, and put 5 on the right side and 5 on the left, to wash in them. Such things as they offered for the burnt offering, they would wash in them. But the sea was for the priests to wash in. And he made 10 lampstands of gold according to their design, and set them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. He also made 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. And he made 100 bowls of gold. Furthermore, he made the court of the priests, and the great court and doors for the court. And he overlaid these doors with bronze. He set the sea on the right side toward the southeast. Then Huram made the pots and the shovels and the bowls. So Huram finished doing the work that he was to do for King Solomon for the house of God. The 2 pillars and the bowl-shaped capitals that were on top of the 2 pillars, the 2 networks covering the 2 bowl-shaped capitals, which were on top of the pillars, 400 pomegranates for the 2 networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network to cover the 2 bowl-shaped capitals that were on the pillars. He also made carts and the lavers on the carts, 1 sea and 12 oxen under it. Also the pots, the shovels, the forks, and all their articles, Huram his master, craftsmen made of burnished bronze for King Solomon for the house of the Lord. In the plain of Jordan, the king had them cast in clay molds between Succoth and Zereda. And Solomon had all these articles made in such great abundance that the weight of the bronze was not determined. Thus Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of God, the altar of gold, and the tables on which was the showbread, the lampstands with their lamps of pure gold to burn in the prescribed manner in front of the inner sanctuary, with the flowers and the lamps and the wick trimmers of gold, of purest gold, the trimmers, the bowls, the ladles, and the censers of pure gold. As for the entry of the sanctuary, its inner doors to the most holy place, and the doors of the main hall of the temple were gold. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. So all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the furnishings, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel in Jerusalem, that they might bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord up from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled with the king at the feast, which was in the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for a multitude. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark at its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles of the ark could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. And they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they had come out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has filled with his hands what he spoke with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any type, from any tribe of Israel, in which to build a house, that my name might be there. Nor did I choose any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. Yet I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name may be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised. I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel, and there I have put the ark, which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with the children of Israel." Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands, for Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And he stood on it, knelt down on his knees before all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel. Only if your sons take heed to their way, that they may walk in my law as you have walked before me. And now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be open toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and then, and when you hear, forgive. If anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in the temple, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants, bringing retribution on the wicked by bringing his way on his own head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. Or if your people Israel are defeated before any enemy because they have sinned against you, and return and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people and bring them back to the land which you gave to them and their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, Israel, when each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hands to this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive. Verses 1 through 30, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we continue reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
That you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach. Called me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see, it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. Yeah, it's out of my league. It's way beyond me. Trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. Yeah, you keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond.
Toby Mack with Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading through the Word of God as we pick up now in the New Testament, the second epistle of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. The third epistle of John, beginning chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. The book of Jude, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. End of the book of Jude. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We've been reading through the Word of God. Let me remind you, again, we continue to encourage every single listener, if you don't already have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a great day to start that habit. And once again, parents, we're encouraging you to start the habit of having each of your children read the Word of God to you at home as well. 3 chapters, again, may sound like a lot, but you can read your average 3 chapters in about 15 minutes or so. Let me say, too, to parents of children who may be adults, and if you like, just let me say in the way of encouragement, I don't think it hurts anything at all if you ask your adult children to read Scripture, maybe by phone or in person, for you as well. Now, sometimes I might think that to be childish. Well, keep in mind, reading God's Word is not childish at all. It's a wonderful thing. It's a fruitful thing. In fact, it's one of the most fruitful things in life we can do, to read and consume the Word of God. But asking even your adult children to read for you, that I think that's a wise and a fruitful thing as well, if you'll do that too. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never made the wonderful and the all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior and inviting Him to come into your life so that you can be saved, I want to invite you to take time to make that step today. Would you simply, in order to make that step, in order to be saved, would you simply pray this prayer with me now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much, that you came into this world a very long time ago. You lived your life. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins, all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me with an everlasting love. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. Lord, in the Bible, you told us, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my life following you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, please email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like very much to be in touch with you, to share with you some literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the email jparker@afa.net. And of course, if you're wanting some of the evangelism and or discipleship materials that we provide, we're glad to share them with you. Same email, jparker@afa.net. We're glad to send them to you. Hope that you will get involved with using these for you and your family, and to pass them on so that we can be fellow workers in doing the work of evangelizing and discipling the world. Hope you'll do that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.